10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Welcome to part three, ladies and gentlemen, of News from the Wall. We are in the middle of a very deep analyzation of truth. So welcome to part three, already in progress. Let's talk about the real truth about what they offer to the planet. Now, I'm going to share some things right here. And if you're willing to listen to what I'm about to share, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to find yourself with a decision to make. That decision is going to include doing some radical changes if you haven't done them already. I'm talking about your health. I'm talking about the condition of your temple. If we are in the last days, we need to make sure that our temple, our bodies, are in better condition than we have been tolerating. Now, if you're a regular listener to my program, you're aware that I disclosed recently that I have been battling the disease of lupus over the past 10 years or 11 years. And this was 3 months ago when I first disclosed it. And since then, I have made some radical changes and I am in the middle of a regimen right now in an attempt to turn my illness around, to reverse it. And I am believing God that I'm going to be able to do it. And one of the first things that I had to do and that I've been doing is to educate myself on what's really healthy and what's not. And when I started going down this road, I was coming across information that I didn't want to read or know about. I didn't want to know this stuff. This is the conclusion. The corporations and the global elite, there's another part of their strategy, and that is to keep people unhealthy. Keep them away from having an optimum physical ability. If they don't have the energy, then their mental ability won't be there. They won't have the mental capacity or the will to do something about it. So part of their strategy is keep people sick, keep them subdued, and everyone will be happy because they'll keep buying your stuff and they will continue to walk in a waking coma. They will be too tired. They won't have the energy and the strength to refuse their situation. I began to examine all this stuff just for myself. And as I did, I have been learning, ladies and gentlemen, that Americans are being poisoned and lied to right now. Let me go into a little bit more detail and isolate what I'm talking about. Pepsi owns a variety of companies. They have several products on the grocery store shelf, but in America, they're the biggest food corporation and they're one of the biggest ones throughout the world. They have a lot of money. They're very powerful. And they say they have values, but their values are about making money. It's about world citizenship, the gay agenda, and their values also include the cheapest way to create their food, their drinks. And as a result of their offering and their products, there are more Americans today that are sick with diabetes, heart disease, autoimmune problems, malnutrition, mental problems, and long-term chronic health issues because of the American diet. And part of the blame lies on some of the products that Pepsi makes. Now, let's talk about Pepsi Cola for a moment. And folks, please, if you say, oh, come on, Nathan, I don't want to hear that, then fine. But don't listen to me. But know this, you're being poisoned. And if you are a consumer of Pepsi or any other soda, you are killing yourself. Let me just say it like that. And I'm going to explain why. I looked at the ingredients of Pepsi Cola and what's found in them. And folks, I can't believe it. I cannot believe the poison that is in their cans. Pepsi Cola, as well as Mountain Dew and their other drinks, are poison in a can. They're diabetes in a bottle. They're cancer in a vending machine. It's not real food. But who is willing to admit this or acknowledge it or face it? I know that soda is is part of our culture here in America. I know that it is part of the lifestyle of millions of people. I know that it is part of the routine of many, many adults and children. And perhaps it's part of your routine. So it is part of your culture. But let me just share something. Now, folks, please hear this. Did you know that in the nation of India, the Indian farmers cannot afford pesticide? So since they can't afford pesticide, they needed to find an alternative. And some of the Indian farmers stated that to get their pesticide, to buy it in bulk, it's $30 to get a certain amount. And they found out, now get this, folks, they found out that they can get Pepsi or Coca-Cola for $6 or $7 versus $30 and spray it on their plants, on their crop, and it works just as well. Because there's pesticide or some ingredient in Pepsi and Coke that kills and repels bugs. Let me just stop there. Listen to this news report. Here you go, folks.
Of course, both cola companies can take heart that they are not utterly useless. Farmers in northern Lucknow use them as pesticides, and it's cost advantageous too. For while pesticides cost about $20 to $30, spraying their fields with colas cost only about $6 to $8. A study released by the Center for Science and Environment found a pesticide residue of 11.85 parts per billion in 57 samples of cola drinks, about 24 times higher than limits agreed to. And while both Pepsi and Coke profess innocence, considering that this is the second damnation in 3 years, not many are buying either their protest or their products.
Several state governments in India are maintaining a ban on the production and sale of Coca-Cola and Pepsi products. Environmental groups there charge that drinks produced by those two companies contain residues of pesticide. Coke and Pepsi have denied these charges, and the ban remains in place, even though India's health ministry has also dismissed the allegations. NPR's Philip Reeves has more from New Delhi.
It's another stifling monsoon day in New Delhi. The men selling drinks on the streets are enjoying a busy time. But life's not so easy for everyone in the business. Coca-Cola and Pepsi, by far the biggest players in the Indian market, face allegations that unsafe levels of pesticide residues have been found by tests on samples of their products. Their accusers are a pressure group called the Center for Science and Environment, or CSE, headed by Sunita Narayan.
Our concern was that if we are finding pesticides in a product that is supposedly clean and safe, it means there is widespread contamination in India. We need a standard, a limit, which defines what is the safe level of pesticides that you can have in colas.
Until that standard's established, Narayan says the CSE's campaign will continue, no matter how much pressure it faces.
Are you expecting us to back off just because they're two companies and they're big companies?
Nor will the cola giants back off. As their racy television ads make clear, they're always eager to sell their wares to the world's second most populous country. Philip Reeves, NPR News, New Delhi.
Okay, there you go. So what is inside of Pepsi and Coke that repels bugs? How can this be possible? I examined this story and I tried to research it, and Pepsi was saying, no, it's not in our drink. It's not true. It's a lie. But the Indian farmers are saying otherwise. So some doctors and health officials in India were asking the question, well, what is it? Is it the water source from the Pepsi bottling plant that has some pesticide residue from runoff and it's getting cross-contaminated into the new Pepsi bottles? Is that what it is? Or is there some chemical in Pepsi and Coke? Now, at least in India, Coke and Pepsi are not the healthiest things to be drinking. Now, if some of you have been looking for reasons to stop drinking soda, please listen to this information that I'm going to share. If you have loved ones that you've been trying to convince to stop drinking soda, share this program with them. Over the past few months, California passed a law that requires manufacturers to put a product label on their items if they're found to cause cancer. And this law states that if anything in a product on the grocery store shelves can hurt you, they need to say so. Now, because of that law, it was discovered that Pepsi Cola has an ingredient that causes cancer. And that ingredient is the caramel color that makes Pepsi Cola have its dark shade. And the ingredient that causes cancer is called 4-mel, M-E-L, or the long term is 4-methylimidazole. Pepsi's ingredient for their caramel color was found to cause cancer. So Pepsi was told that they had to start putting this on their label. Pepsi said, well, we'll change the formula. So they changed it. Now, unfortunately, Pepsi One still has more than 29 micrograms as of this recording of this ingredient, this caramel color that causes cancer. And an independent lab did a study on soft drinks to see how much Formel was included in various soft drinks, like Pepsi and Coke, as well as others. And all of them have Formel in it. Dr. Pepper, Coke, Coke Zero, Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, Pepsi One. They all have it, but the Coca-Cola companies have theirs in a level that's just 4 or 5 micrograms, whereas Pepsi has theirs at 29 micrograms, 29.1. And Diet Pepsi has it a little bit higher. Now, since California passed that law, Pepsi changed their formula in California to lower the amount of this chemical. However, in other states, they have not lowered it. So if you are a drinker of Pepsi, ladies and gentlemen, just so that you know, when you see the word caramel color in the list of ingredients on your soda can, that is a cancer-causing ingredient. Just so you know. Now, to some people, they may say, well, I'm not going to worry about it, Nathan, because everyone's going to get cancer eventually. Yeah, that's true. 1 in 3 people. Today, cancer is the number 3 killer of Americans. And as I have been looking at the ingredients of foods in America, I have been able to start formulating a picture. And this picture reveals that the American diet is cancer-causing because it's processed and it's full of ingredients that the FDA and the Department of Agriculture allows to be in ingredients that are damaging to humans and makes them sick. Some people may argue and say, well, I'm not going to worry about it. That's fine. But how about this one, folks? I've included a link to Pepsi's new global campaign. And if you watch the halftime show where it had the giant hands coming down and plucking the bridge and playing the bongos on the Guggenheim building, at the very end of that intro, it says Pepsi, or the logo shows up, and then it says Live for Now. I have the link to this also on my website. You can see it. And this is the story behind the Live for Now campaign that Pepsi is now pushing. This campaign was unveiled on April the 30th, 2012, to the world. So it's a little bit over a year old. And by the way, side note, as I was looking at all the Illuminati symbology behind this thing, there is one thing that I cannot get past. Because if it's right there, if it's in our face, then it's in our face. But check this out. April the 30th is the eve of May Day, May the 1st. And April the 30th happens to be one of the most important days for pagans and Satanists and the occult. It's part of the Beltane festival. It has to do with the worship of the earth. It has to do with sorcery and witchcraft. This new campaign called Live for Now was unveiled on that day of the Beltane festival, the eve of May Day. And on April the 30th of 2012, I have their news release right here. Pepsi today unveiled its first global campaign, Live for Now, based on the brand's new global positioning. Goes on, Pepsi conducted extensive global research. This campaign is based on their research. This is what the people wanted. It was conducted through extensive research connecting with thousands of fans. Not consumers, fans. So those that drink Pepsi are fans of Pepsi. And Live for Now reflects the insight that Pepsi fans all around the world desire to capture the excitement of, now look at this folks, now. The excitement of now, the mindset that is aligned at the very core with the brand's DNA. Now that's kind of weird, isn't it? To them, Pepsi is a living entity. It's alive. It goes on, Live for Now will invite and inspire Pepsi fans to live each moment to the fullest through a breath of global. Now watch this, folks. How is Pepsi going to get them to do it? With inspiration? Is it going to inspire fans to pay it forward and to be good to their neighbors and to love their neighbors and to help the elderly across the street? No. Live for Now will invite and inspire Pepsi fans to live each moment to the fullest through a breadth of global pop culture platforms. So Live for Now through the pop culture. And the pop culture includes what? It goes on. Including relationships with music. And look how they worded this. and entertainment brand evangelists. So, according to Pepsi, the individuals that they sponsor and endorse to promote Pepsi, in the eyes of Pepsi, are evangelists. What does an evangelist do, ladies and gentlemen? An evangelist tries to convert, to influence, and change people. So, live for now, and they're going to promote this through their evangelists that are entertainers. It goes on. The multi-year campaign will launch first in the United States and then roll out globally throughout 2012. And here we are 2 years later. It's still part of their campaign. It goes on. Live for now is considerably more than positioning. It's more than a statement or a single ad. It is the central governing idea for the brand globally. Live for now. See, folks, the Trilateralists and the CFR members and the Bilderbergs, in order for their plan to work, they must keep the people subdued and restrained and occupied with nonsense. The people cannot know that there's chains around their necks, that they can't breathe. What you must do is throw propaganda at them and just keep them drugged with entertainment. This is now Pepsi's global strategy to keep you entertained. Pepsi has always inspired people to embrace the now by being at the epicenter of and helping to define pop culture. So, according to Pepsi, they want to get the control of the younger generation, of your children, of your kids. Why? Because live for now is how the people need to live their lives, right? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about consequences or regret or bad choices. Don't worry about backflow or backlash. Don't worry about negative momentum. Don't worry about sowing and reaping. Just live for now. See, folks, Satan is behind this. Just worry about now, not tomorrow. Just party right now. It goes on. Live for now embodies the mindset that is true of Pepsi loyalists around the world while still connecting with a large and growing number who share the same values. So congratulations, America. The values of America are now easily displayed in the Live for Now campaign because Americans are no longer responsible. That's why we have a bunch of babies' daddies who abandon their children. That's why we have a lot of single moms. That's why we have a lot of STDs. That's why we have a lot of crime, because people do not live within the boundaries of tomorrow and accountability and consequences. As I move down in this article, it says the Live for Now positioning will inform the way Pepsi behaves as a brand. So when we saw the halftime show and Bruno Mars and all of that, Pepsi had one goal with all of those girls that were dancing and jumping around at the bottom of the stage. Just enjoy yourself. Live in the futility of your mind. Behave without tomorrow. React to the music. Respond to the entertainment. Respond to the stimuli in our evangelists. So Bruno Mars became the evangelist of those girls that were dancing under him. And Bruno Mars became the evangelist for Pepsi to spread his word in the songs that he shared about blaspheming God and equating sex with a spiritual experience in his song Locked Out of Heaven. And then Bruno Mars went on to sing a song about wolves in sheep's clothing. You got to run, run, get away from me. I just want to do things to you. Is that the new message of evangelism today? Where girls have to allow themselves to be misused by testosterone-driven carnal men? To be mistreated, spit up and chewed out and abandoned, pregnant, out of wedlock, with a child who has no father? Is that the version of Live for Now? Apparently it is. The Live for Now positioning will inform the way Pepsi behaves as a brand and is a fantastic filter through which to create exciting and innovative partnerships with some of the world's leading artists and entertainment properties. Properties right here. So the artist that they're using, they used Beyonce last year, is a property. So see, they even consider their entertainers their property, their chattel property, a bunch of cattle to extend their lead in the world. You see, folks, they don't value humanity and human life and souls. Everything's about property and money. Now, as the article continues, it says, the first Live for Now ad spot is set to air across the U.S. on May 7th. The ad features global music artists. Now, watch this, folks. Pepsi's evangelists. Now, please don't tell me that there's nothing satanic in the new global direction of Pepsi. The ad features global music artist Nicki Minaj and her mega hit Moment for Life. Minaj also has a cameo in the ad and is one of the many talented artists and entertainment brands that Pepsi will collaborate with over the coming months to bring to life the new brand position. Live for now. How many of you remember what Nicki Minaj did at the Grammys? Nicki Minaj, the demon-possessed harlot witch sorceress, conducted an invocation to Satan in front of millions of people on TV. She's demon-possessed. She sold her soul to Satan. She's a witch. She's a sorceress. She's blasphemous. And she's full of evil spirits. And this is the evangelist for Pepsi. And she was the one used to proclaim, live for now. You know, ladies and gentlemen, as I look at this information, it's obvious that there's a spiritual element going on right now. And if Pepsi can say on their website, we have core values that care about humans and you, we care about you. And then they hire a demon-possessed sorceress to tell the people in her evangelistic displays of sorcery and devil worship to live for now. Can you believe them? Can you really believe in their sincerity? I mean, really? I don't think so. Well, Nathan, you don't like Pepsi. No, folks, I'm unveiling the lies right now. I'm revealing the truth. We're peeling the facade off of the lies of the American lifestyle. They are playing all of us. As I stated a moment ago, Pepsi is poison in a can, cancer in a bottle, sickness in a vending machine. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you reasons that Pepsi is awesome, okay? Not. Let me give you reasons it is not awesome. I was kidding. Now, first off, how many of you can remember a little over a year ago, maybe it was a little longer, that Pepsi had announced that a pro-life group had found out that Pepsi was going to start using aborted baby cells in their sweetener? And this pro-life group had started a boycott against Pepsi. And they said, Pepsi, do not use aborted babies in your sweetener or we're going to boycott you. So Pepsi said, please don't boycott us. Okay, we won't do it. So the Christian group said, okay, we'll drink you now. Well, let me explain the background of this story. Pepsi was looking for an artificial sweetening enhancer in their diet drink. So they made an arrangement with a biotech company called Cenomex. That's S-E-N-O-M-Y-X. Cenomex. And Pepsi signed a 4-year, $30 million agreement with them to research and develop a new sweetener. Now, this company, Cenomex, experiments with aborted babies and stem cells. They were using the cell line HEK293, which is HEK293. HEK293 is an aborted stem cell line of aborted babies that's used in vaccines and a lot of other medicines and cosmetics, etc. Well, Cenomex was using this stem cell aborted tissue line so that they could find a way to make your taste buds believe that they were tasting something that was sweet. So they had this flavor that they had and they patented it. They called it proprietary and they said it affects the taste receptors of the human body and it was using HEK293. So Pepsi found out about it and Pepsi was going to put it in their diet drinks. Well, this pro-life group found out and said, no, you can't do that, Pepsi. So Pepsi decided to stop. And they said, we're not going to do it. So the Christian group said, thank you for not doing it. And everything went back to normal. So then the group that was boycotting Pepsi made an announcement to let everybody know that Pepsi was once again safe for consumption. Never mind the witchcraft impartations that are inside of Pepsi, because Nicki Minaj endorsed it and Beyonce endorsed it. By the way, side note, Beyonce has a $50 million endorsement deal for Pepsi now. She's the new spokesperson. We're going to be talking about that in an upcoming episode, but Beyonce, you know, that lady that's married to the guy who sold his soul to Satan, you know, that guy. But moving on. So Pepsi said, thank you for not being mad at us, pro-life group. We'll behave now. Well, it just came out a few months ago. Once again, Pepsi has decided to partner again with Cenomex, this time for another type of chemical to place in their drink. And this time, they're not saying what they're going to put in their drinks. And when Cenomex was asked, what are you placing in Pepsi's drink? They said, it's a proprietary flavor chemical. And there were some news journalists that dug a little deeper, and it turns out that their flavor chemical is actually a type of genetically modified organism. It's a GMO enhancer. So Pepsi's going to place GMO enhancers in their soda, and they're not stopping. Why? because it sells soda and most people don't care. Now, speaking of GMO, now listen to this, folks. On Pepsi's website, they say we have values. We have products that are for human health. They own Quaker Oats, and they sell breakfast bars and orange juice. We care about your health. But several years ago, it turns out during the 2012 election that California had a ballot measure called Proposition 37, where if it was passed, any food that was available in a grocery store needed to have a label saying that it was GMO if it was, in fact, GMO. So all the cereal that uses GMO wheat and corn would have had to say this product contains GMO ingredients. And there were some Californians that wanted that to become a law because they wanted to know what's in their food. So there was a campaign to try to pass that law. And get this, folks, there were three companies that gave to the campaign against this ballot measure so that it would not pass. And the number one company that gave so that it wouldn't pass, and they made commercials saying it's a bad law, it's going to cost a lot of money, you don't want this, it's going to destroy everything. The company that donated to stop this law was Monsanto, the creator of GMO food. And then coming in second place was DuPont, the chemical company. And then in third place, that gave $2.5 million to the campaign so this law would not pass, was none other than Pepsi, PepsiCo. Pepsi gave to the campaign so that the GMO disclosure would not happen. And as a result, the law did not pass by a margin of 48 to 51. So when Pepsi says, we care about you, about values, and we care about your health, what do we have thus far? They want to stick aborted babies in their sweetener, and now they're sticking GMO enhancers in their diet drinks, and they contributed so that the GMO disclosure law would not pass in California. And since Pepsi owns Frito-Lay, you can't know that Frito-Lay corn chips are GMO. And Lay's potato chips and Cheetos. Folks, you don't want to know that Cheetos are GMO. You can't know that because they're good for you. Pepsi cares about your health. They're nutritious for your kids. So do we give them a pass right there? Or is that thumbs up or thumbs down? What do you think, folks? Let me continue. Washington State then decided to have their own proposition on the ballot initiative. Their proposal was called I-522. It was another GMO labeling law for the state of Washington on the November 5 ballot. And guess what, folks? Again, Coca-Cola and Pepsi, this time Nestle, contributed over $1 million each so that law would not be passed. So what does that tell us? And it didn't pass. It went down. So in the state of Washington, those of you that live in Washington, Washingtonians, those of you in Seattle, Spokane, you can't know that GMO food is in your Frito-Lays and your Cheetos. You're not supposed to know that. It's none of your business. You can't handle it. Mom, just buy the Cheetos and the Fritos and give it to your kid, even though it's GMO. Now, folks, since Pepsi makes soda and they didn't want this law to pass, that is a little clue that there's GMO ingredients in their soda. Now, as I continued in my journey to examine the real truth about what we're eating and drinking here in America, and because I myself am battling an autoimmune challenge of lupus, I have to ask myself, which product did I eat that contributed to this? Was it all of them? Was it some of them? What is in the American diet that could have contributed to me having lupus? I asked that question. And folks, as a person who desires to use intellectual honesty, I had to ask that question, no matter how uncomfortable it made me. I asked it to my wife. I said, you know, if I was a typical American and I went through the fast food drive-thru or went inside the store or the restaurant and bought all the stuff that's offered to us through all these franchises and commercial outlets and corporate restaurants, is there stuff in there that caused this? And if it's true and if it did, I don't want to be giving it to my kids. I have to have a new way of looking at this. And folks, as an average American, I've eaten at Burger King, Wendy's. I've drank the soda. I've purchased Cheetos and Doritos. I've gone to gatherings, fellowship meetings where everyone's drinking soda. I've gone to prayer meetings where when we're done praying, we drink soda. Isn't that something, folks? Feed our spirit and nourish our spirit and then drink poison. But who knew? I didn't know it back then. I'm talking about the decades of my life. I'm 51. I'm talking about when I was a child and a teenager and all the way up. I'm guilty. So I'm not throwing rocks at just you. If you happen to be a part of this culture, I'm raising up the banner of awareness, and I have to ask the question, is this right? Is this good? Is this beneficial for us, for you, for your children? Are you doing yourself a service or a disservice? Are you hurting yourself? Folks, we have to be able to look in the mirror and examine this. In the spiritual realm, when we look at repentance, it's the same thing. We look in the mirror and compare our lives to the Bible, and if it doesn't match up, we need to repent and make adjustments. Well, in our physical life, our spirit lives in this temple, in this tent, in this body, and if we're not taking care of it, it's not going to cooperate. We won't be as effective for God. We won't be as effective as a witness, and we'll be a liability to those around us. Things will get expensive. Our health will suffer, and hospital bills will come around. The doctors will try to shove drugs down our throats. So this is important, folks. I continue to look at the ingredients of Pepsi Cola and Mountain Dew and other sodas. Now, folks, if you have a carbonated beverage, Coca-Cola, Sprite, Mountain Dew, etc., look at the ingredients, because the ingredients should be on the can, and you will note that one of the preservatives in Pepsi or Coke or whichever one you're drinking is either sodium benzoate or potassium benzoate. Those are the preservatives that are placed in the drink to allow it to last a little bit longer. And these preservatives, again, sodium benzoate and potassium benzoate, they are in thousands and thousands of products that are available at the grocery store. In foods, boxed foods, canned foods, all sorts of containers, they are all over the place. In bottles and condiments, thousands of food items have sodium benzoate. Now, as I was researching these ingredients, I happened upon the report of what sodium benzoate does. Now, it's used as a preservative in your soda, but when you eat it or when you drink it, it goes into your body. And now get this, folks, it is a known carcinogenic. And when it is transported to the liver, where it's supposed to be filtered, it damages the body. It's a sodium salt of benzoic acid, and sodium benzoate chokes out your body's nutrients at the DNA molecular cellular level by depriving your cells of oxygen. Now, just right there, folks, when you have this preservative in your body, it denies and deprives your cells of obtaining oxygen. Sometimes it completely shuts the cells down, and sometimes it just does a slow damage. Now, if cells don't get oxygen, they're not going to be able to fight off infection, including cancer. Now, the FDA says that sodium benzoate is safe because it's a small amount. It's a low amount, so don't worry about it. However, folks, get this. Just for the record, just so that you know, when you have sodium benzoate in your body, please be sure to not eat anything with vitamin C or vitamin E, all right? So if you took your daily dose of vitamins and you have vitamin C or E in your body, and then a few hours later, you drink a soda with sodium benzoate, when they mix together in your stomach, it turns into benzene. Now, benzene is a carcinogen. It causes cancer. Benzene's in gasoline. Benzene is bad. So are you folks paying attention now? So again, when you drink anything or eat anything with sodium benzoate, and then if you eat anything with vitamin C, so you have soda, your Pepsis, you're sitting at Burger King, and you have a Whopper with pickles in it, and you eat that pickle, and then you take a sip of Pepsi, the sodium benzoate and the vitamin C in the pickle are going to turn into benzene in your stomach. Or if you eat salad dressing or any jam or most condiments or vinegar or fruit juice or salsa or any kind of dip or shredded cheese or ketchup or all sorts of other things, just be sure not to do it when you drink soda, and then you'll be fine. Okay, folks? Oh, and if you want to drink any soda, don't take any vitamins for the day, because you don't want to have benzene in your stomach. All right? Now, if you're able to stay away from these foods when you drink your soda, be sure that you're not to use any mouthwash or toothpaste or cream or lotion or hundreds of other cosmetic products, because they also have sodium benzoate, and your body will absorb it and then turn into benzene with the food. So this preservative is poison. And some of you might be saying, Nathan, are you kidding me? Are you serious? Yeah, I'm serious. Look it up. Sodium benzoate, poison, turns into benzene. So why does Pepsi put it in the drink? Well, because it inhibits mold, and it's cheap, and it's all about the money. And if they didn't put it in, it would grow bacteria and mold and yeast, and, well, you don't want that in your soda, right? So it extends the shelf life of your Pepsi drinking experience to live for now and to be entertained by Bruno Mars and Beyonce and Nicki Minaj. So it's serving a purpose, ladies and gentlemen. It's helping your life forget the mess you're in. Now, I'm being facetious right now, but this is what it does, folks. Long story short, sodium benzoate extends the product on the shelf, but it's going to shorten your life because it's going to give you cancer eventually if you eat it or drink it too much. Perhaps Pepsi knows this, and that's why their campaign of Live For Now is meaningful, because they're trying to give us a hint. They're saying, you need to live for now and enjoy yourself, because when you drink our product, it's going to kill you. So live for now, okay? Consumer chattel property of the global elite? Just do it. Now, what do we have so far in Pepsi? We have caramel coloring, sodium benzoate, the preservative. We have the incantation, invocation, satanic spell from Nicki Minaj. And then we have that it supports globalism, and it supports a Hindu woman who gives money to the Gay and Lesbian Alliance. So every time you buy a Pepsi from the vending machine, you are supporting GLAAD and the homosexual agenda, stem cell research. But some people may say, but it's worth it, Nathan, because I like it. I like how it tastes. It's sweet. It makes me happy. Oh, speaking of sweet, now get this, folks. Pepsi is sweetened. Now, I knew I was going to get to this. How many of you knew where we're going to get here? Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. High fructose corn syrup is the sweetener of soda and Coke and Pepsi and Mountain Dew and Sprite and all of those other soft drinks, as well as many other items that you buy at the grocery store. Now, I didn't say corn syrup. I said high fructose corn syrup. That's the new staple item that manufacturers have moved to. High fructose corn syrup is very cheap, and it's sweeter than regular cane sugar, so many of the manufacturers, pretty much all of them, in America at least, have switched over to using it as a sweetener. And because they've done this, based on statistics, the average American citizen now, if he eats regular food bought at the grocery store and drinks soda and he eats processed food, he or she eats an average of 60 pounds of high fructose corn syrup every year. 60 pounds, folks. Now, because of that, the obesity rate of the United States has tripled in the last few years. And we can see a parallel to these ingredients being added to soda and processed food to the obesity rate. Now, when I was growing up, when I was a kid in the 70s, and I looked around at most people weren't overweight. And most kids and teenagers were not overweight. But today they are. So between then and now, what happened? Have you ever thought about that, folks? Have you wondered why you can't lose weight? I'm sure some of you do. It's very frustrating. Some of you have limited your diet to just a few things a day, and you're still not losing weight, and you don't know why. Now, the Corn Refiners Association will say that this new version of corn syrup is healthy. It's not harmful to humans. That's a healthy part of our diet when used in moderation. But here's the problem. When people use this product in moderation, it is responsible for heart disease and obesity and cancer and liver failure and tooth decay and dementia and a host of other ailments that people are suffering with today. Now, let's talk about what's in the ingredients of high fructose corn syrup. It comes from corn. And the corn industry of the United States receives subsidies from the U.S. government, especially if they're selling GMO corn. They receive subsidies, so as a result, their corn is cheap. So the manufacturers will buy their corn by the train loads and then process it to extract the corn syrup. But get this. The average 12-ounce can of soda has between 10 and 12 spoonfuls of corn syrup. That's one can, folks. If it's one of those taller drinks like the teas that are out there, those have between 17 and 20 teaspoons of corn syrup. Think about how much sugar that is. When you have kids drinking these things and adults drinking this, what is it doing to the human body? Well, let's look at it. Now, first of all, high fructose corn syrup and regular cane sugar are not the same biochemically. and they're not processed the same by the body. Now, I'm comparing high fructose corn syrup to just regular white cane sugar. Cane sugar is actually less damaging than high fructose corn syrup, which is in everything. Now, get this. High fructose corn syrup is extracted from corn stalks through a process that is a secret. It is a proprietary trade secret that the processors will not reveal how they do it. But the way that they extract the corn syrup is a secret that results in a compound that is not like sugar. It's different. Now, when we eat regular sugar, our stomach breaks it down and then absorbs it into the body. But the stomach has to do some work to break it down. And of course, if there's too much, it's hard on the body, it's hard on the liver, the pancreas, etc. But the stomach has to do some work to break regular sugar down. High fructose corn syrup, on the other hand, since it is not bound together like regular sugar, it is immediately absorbed into the bloodstream. And the fructose immediately goes right to the liver. It causes the condition of fatty liver, which affects a large part of the American population right now. Up to 70 million people have fatty liver. Now, if that is not enough information to make you scratch your head about soda, get this, folks. High fructose corn syrup, when it is made, has contaminants in it. It has been found to have mercury inside of it. Now, why is that? How's that possible? It's because the manufacturing process where they extract the sugars has mercury as a byproduct. So here's the question. How much mercury is in high fructose corn syrup? Did you know this, folks? Now, as I was examining this whole matter and I was looking at the poison that's inside their drinks, and I started to realize these globalist companies seem to be following a trend. And the trend says this: buy the ingredients as cheap as possible from companies that don't really care about the ramifications of health, and then offer it to the people and convince them that it's good because they need to be subdued. As I continued my research, I came across another story that talked about the clear drinks that Pepsi offers, like Mountain Dew and Gatorade and Powerade. They have an orange drink. It turns out that the citrus juices and drinks that are produced and manufactured by these companies have an ingredient called brominated vegetable oil, or BVO. And BVO is an ingredient that causes the citrus to stay suspended throughout the drink instead of settling to the bottom or rising to the top. So they stick this ingredient, this vegetable oil that's brominated, in their drinks. Let me play this news clip to explain what it is. Listen to this.
It's an ingredient reportedly used in as many as 1 of 10 sodas and sports drinks sold here in the U.S., but some health advocates are questioning why, claiming it may be causing diseases instead of quenching your thirst. KSN's Justin Kramer has more in a KSN News Extra.
It's a popular drink, especially with teenagers, but what's lurking under the cap of Mountain Dew, as well as some flavors of Squirt, Fresca, Fanta, and Powerade, may surprise you.
Have you ever heard of anything called brominated vegetable oil, BVO?
No, I haven't.
Brominated vegetable oil is used as a food additive in drinks like Mountain Dew, but what is BVO? Well, it's a flame retardant used to put out fires.
The fact that it's a flame retardant bothers me a little bit. I've drank quite a bit of Mountain Dew over the years.
Adam Linthicum is a manager at the Game Exchange on West Street in Wichita.
You know, gamers, how big is Mountain Dew in the gaming community?
Huge.
Mountain Dew targets teens with their advertising, especially gamers with tie-ins to both the Halo franchise on Xbox and World of Warcraft, the popular PC game, encouraging gamers to slam Dew to have the edge on the competition.
They know that they've got a niche with the gaming community because of the caffeine content, and gamers want to stay up and play their games.
The first thought when I hear brominated vegetable oil is it's chemical toxins. Stay away from it.
Dr. Jennifer Kohmeyer is clinic director at the Reardon Health Center in Wichita. She's treated patients who've come to the clinic after drinking 100 ounces of Dew a day, and she's seen the consequences.
They got chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia-type symptoms. Their endocrine system is out of whack. When you add that up and it accumulates in the body and stores in the body, it's a disaster waiting to happen, in my opinion.
BVO is banned in Europe and Japan, but used in around 10% of U.S. sodas, with Mountain Dew leading the pack. BVO is useful in keeping the fruit-flavored chemicals in the drinks from floating to the top. The FDA removed BVO from its list of safe food additives in the 70s, putting it on an interim list for more study, where it's now sat for decades.
It's going to raise some eyebrows with parents once they hear it.
I'm going to definitely Google it tomorrow at work.
Gatorade had been using BVO in a few of its flavors until earlier this year, when pressure from an online petition started by a teenage Mississippi girl convinced the company to pull BVO out of all of their sports drinks.
If you're going to market as a healthy beverage for people, then you definitely need to take out anything that's linked to disease.
In a statement, PepsiCo, the owners of Gatorade, say, "While our products are safe, we are making this change because we know that some consumers have a negative perception of BVO and Gatorade." The FDA concurs, claiming BVO is safe and presents no health risks. But some doctors disagree, saying it needs more study, as they question the common sense of drinking chemicals designed to douse fires to quench your thirst. Justin Kramer, KSN News.
The FDA has no plans to remove BVO from the interim class on additives, with a spokesperson for the FDA saying that further tests would be costly and not a high priority.
So there you go, folks. Mountain Dew has this poison in it. So some of you are thinking, well, I'll get away from the caramel color and I'll just drink Mountain Dew. Or I won't do the Pepsi brand. Instead, I'll do another brand. I'll do the generic brand, the Safeway brand, the Sam's Club brand. Well, I examine the ingredients of some of those items and they also have BVO. So over and over, ladies and gentlemen, it seems that these companies are lacing their drinks with poison constantly. Why? Why do they have to put poison that does this damage in drinks? Fanta Orange has it, Fresca, Squirt, Mountain Dew, Sunkiss, Powerade. Now, Gatorade said they're going to take it out, but Powerade still has it, and Pepsi didn't take it out of their Mountain Dew. So what is up? By the way, did you hear the reporter say it's flame retardant? It's used for fire extinguishers? Well, it's also found in pesticides and plastics that make up our computers. And, you know, folks, getting back to the original question I had, why are so many people sick now in the United States? Why is it that by the time people get into their 40s, you know, they ate the garbage in their 20s and in their teens and also in their 30s. And then as they start getting older, all of a sudden it's like a switch goes off. And folks, have you noticed this? Most of you that are older, because I remember it happening to me, and my wife is starting to notice. She's in her early 40s. But it seems that finally, after so much abuse of eating this garbage, it's part of the average American diet, the body finally says, you know what? I'm done. I don't like this. I don't like what you're shoving down the hatch. It makes me ill. It makes me feel bad. So how about this? Here's some pain to let you know I don't like it. So the body starts breaking down and pain starts. Bones start to hurt. Joints start to hurt. Muscles start to hurt. Weakness, fatigue, and all these symptoms of all these different ailments start striking people when they're in their 40s. Why? If some of you are feeling miserable, just like I've been, some of the biggest causes of poisons are the diet. Now, if you happen to be involved in an occupation where you're around poisonous chemicals, well, then, of course, those are going to contribute. But I'm talking about if you're an office worker and you've always worked in an office, and then all of a sudden you're sick and your body has arthritis, etc., it's the diet, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the information that I came across. I didn't want to hear it, but I had to be willing to face it like a grown-up. So I've had a talk with my family. I've had a talk with my kids, my teenagers, and I'm sharing this information with them because I don't want them to go through the same pain and suffering and misery that I've been going through. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to leave you with this, and I'm going to have to close now because I know that this is getting long. As I stated at the very beginning of this program, this started out just about the halftime show, Bruno Mars. But in order to really look at this as an intellectual and use integrity and honesty, I had to be willing to go through all of the doors that were open to see the real truth. This isn't just about the influence of Bruno Mars during a Super Bowl program on February the 2nd, because this is bigger than that, much bigger. What I saw then revealed and gave me enough information to find out that they are poisoning you, your children, your loved ones, and me every day. And they're trying to get rich while they're doing it. And you know what, folks? Most of them are. They are doing it successfully. Because we're enabling them. Because we're not saying no. Because we haven't made changes. By the way, do you still love Pepsi, ladies and gentlemen? After what I've shared? Indra Nooyi, the CEO of Pepsi. She's a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg, the New York Fed. She's a staunch supporter of GLAAD, the gay and lesbian causes. And they are now pushing the new Live For Now evangelistic movement so that you cannot know that you live on a global plantation and that you're a slave of them, that you're their property. That's it in a nutshell. And the more I dig with these companies, the more dirt I find. Some of you say, well, I'm going to switch to natural. Well, get this. Many of the health drinks that are now for sale in the grocery store, like Naked Juice and Odwalla, at one time began as companies who wanted to have good products, good ingredients. But most of those drinks have been bought out by Coca-Cola and Pepsi and many other corporations. Odwalla was bought out by Coke, and Naked Juice was bought by Pepsi. And when that happened, Pepsi changed the ingredients of Naked Juice. So when you see Naked Juice and it says health, $3, $4 a bottle for a little 12-ounce thing, listen to this.
The Naked Truth could earn you some money if you are a Naked Juice drinker. The company must now pay a $9 million settlement for false claims that its drinks are 100% juice and all natural when they in fact contain genetically modified ingredients. Customers who bought these products between September of 2007 and August 19th of this year may be eligible for $75 with proof of purchase, $45 without. Now, you must file a claim electronically or through the mail by mid-December.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. An individual found out that the ingredients were fake in Naked Juice. The reason that the Naked Juice felt thick, like a superfood shake, was because Pepsi was inserting fake synthetic fibers to emulsify it and make it seem thick. Yes, folks, it's true. They place fiber on the label. So when people buy it, they say, hey, fiber, that's good for me. The doctor said I needed fiber. So they buy Naked Juice, but in essence, it's fake GMO synthetic fiber. And Naked Juice was exposed for doing this. By the way, on top of that, it was found out that they were not using organic ingredients. They were GMO ingredients. So Pepsi's subsidiary of Naked Juice was sued, and they lost the lawsuit of $9 million. So Pepsi's company, Naked Juice, is also a company made with fake ingredients, and they're a bunch of liars. Now, when they purchased Naked Juice a few years ago, Naked Juice was real. Now, for those of you that drink Naked Juice, you're drinking GMO. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. This information reveals that the appearance of good old boy, old-fashioned American companies is just that. Its appearance. I gave you an example on this program of one American corporation that is no longer in it for the good of the United States. And for those of you, when you see Pepsi's logo and you say, hey, red, white, and blue, they're American. No, they're not. They are now a multinational, global, trilateral, Bilderberg CFR company. And they are perpetuating the slavery that is going to come to America. They are going to play a role in keeping people subdued. They're going to continue to poison the masses because they have paid off the politicians, the FDA, doctors. They're all in each other's pockets and they hang out with one another at the Bilderbergs. So my friends, we are made up of spirit, soul, and body, and the body portion of our existence cannot be ignored. And I want to challenge all of you who want to be a part of the remnant, who want to be able to survive this mess that is coming, to start evaluating. If you may fall under the regular American lifestyle and you eat the regular garbage that's out there, folks, if you're not feeling the consequences yet, eventually, if you continue, you will. Because our bodies can only take so much. Nobody is bulletproof, ladies and gentlemen. No one. Now, after I get finished with this series and I get back to my Overcomer series, at some point in the future, I'm going to have some programs about diet and nutrition and health, and I'm going to share with all of you what I am doing. As I said earlier, I have done some radical things, and I am totally forsaking all of this garbage that we now find in the grocery store. There are very few things now that I can eat, that I choose to eat, because now that I know the truth about this stuff, folks, why would I want to put that poison in my body? And my prayer and my hope is that you will ask yourself the same thing if you haven't already. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, I appreciate that you've listened to this program. In the next session, we're going to examine the rest of the Super Bowl ceremony, but we are going to dig, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know the truth, because the truth will set us free. All right, folks? Well, thank you for listening to this program. Please share it with your loved ones. Please don't forget about us with your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. Say some prayers for us, ladies and gentlemen. Stay safe, stay full of God, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.